1, 2, 3.
Sin Sports Sunday. Every Sunday. The NJDiet.com studios. 77 WABC New York. Cumulus Station. This is Sin Sports Sunday. Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda. Around the country. Around New York. The stories you're talking about. The stats you need.
Allen. Now he's going down the field. He's got a man wide open. And it's a touchdown for the Bills. Jason Kroom.
The edge you need.
Late fake on first down. Time to throw. Smith lets it rip. Richardson. He's got it inside the five. Touchdown.
These are the moments you won't forget.
This is Albert Wilson.
Albert Wilson on his way. They're not going to catch him. Touchdown, Miami.
This is Sin Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
5 for 75 for Beckham as Manning fires to Red Ellison for a Giants touchdown to the tight end.
Whoa, who said you need Evan Ingram? We got Red Ellison.
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
Coming to you live from the beautiful lobby of the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. It is, in fact, a Sid Sports Sunday driven by Ramsey Mazda for a week 4 of the National Football League. And, boy, this is exciting. Our first show on the road. We're a quarter of the way through the football season. Baseball season, very, very exciting at the very end, too. In fact, two divisions, both the NL Central and the NL West, up for grabs down to the very last day. So we got a monster show coming your way. People lined up already here in front of our remote here from the lobby again in Atlantic City. Got our boss here, Chad Lopez, and Fran is here, and Danny Bianculo, who went 5-0 last week. Mike Brands, Ayal and Danielle, and our little doggy Bamba. Everybody lined up today to see Sid Sports Sunday live from the beach in Atlantic City. Hey, before we get to the football again, we've got 8 1 o'clock games today, 4 games in the 4 o'clock hour before the Steelers game later on tonight against the Baltimore Ravens. What a big day in baseball yesterday. Now, Jim Leyritz, the former Yankee great, will join us live on this set today. But how about the Yanks? They become the third team in Major League Baseball yesterday to get the 100-win mark. Astros are at 103, Red Sox at 107. They're going to host that playoff game against the Oakland A's on Wednesday. But how about the record-breaking power by the Yankees yesterday? They go past the 1997 Seattle Mariners for the most home runs by any team in one season in Major League Baseball history. And they broke the record with the rookie, Gleyber Torres.
And the 1-1 swung on and driven to deep right. Way back goes Swihart on the track. He's at the wall. She is gone. Gleyber Torres socked a 2-run home run into the bullpen in right center field. It's Gleyber Day.
And you know what that is? Gleyber Torres goes into the record book as the guy who hit the home run when the Yankees broke the record.
265.
By the way, they hit 266 later yesterday. Aaron Judge with his 28th home run of the season. So, yes, the 24th of the year for Torres breaks the record. More news for the Yankees. How about the rookie third baseman Miguel Andujar? Two more doubles yesterday. He breaks the rookie double mark set by Joe DiMaggio. Imagine that for a second. Miguel Andujar broke a record set by Joe DiMaggio, but that's where the Yankees are. They've beaten the Red Sox in the last two games of this meaningless series, and they end the season at Fenway Park later on today. But there are four major games today. The NL Central, all in a deadlock. The Cubs and the Brewers are tied for first. The NL West in a deadlock. The Dodgers and the Rockies are tied for first. So baseball fans, fasten your seatbelts. A monster last day of the season coming up later on today. We're going to get to all of that. But, of course, this is a football Sunday. Again, the football season a quarter of the way through today, week 4 of our 17-week season. We got big games all over the league, including the Giants. They get their first win of the season last week. Big game for Eli Manning. Big game for the rookie Saquon Barkley. Giants later on today at 4:30 will host the red-hot Drew Brees and the Wallin Saints. Giants at 1-2. Brees put up 43 points in a win against the Falcons last week. We go live to MetLife Stadium, where, again, the Giants are set to host the New Orleans Saints with our good buddy, Russ Salzburg. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Sid. Well, as you say, on a bright and sunny day here at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, temperatures expected to reach possibly 70 degrees by the 4:30 scheduled kickoff. As you say, the 1-2 Giants going to try to win their second in a row against the 2-1 New Orleans Saints, led by that man, Drew Brees, who last week, Sid, became the NFL's all-time completions leader, now at 6,326 and counting after three games. Saints lead the league in scoring with 104 points. However, there is a flip side. With a porous defense, Saints have given up 103 points, so they can be scored upon. What's this all mean? Well, with Eli Manning coming off of his outstanding 25-29 performance down in Houston last week, covering 297 yards and two touchdowns, some are expecting another old-fashioned shutout here. But for me, hey, if you're the Giants, that's a recipe for some big-time trouble. Brees has completed, after three games, 80% of his passes, covering more than 1,000 yards and eight touchdowns. So the best way for the Giants to defend against something like that, not very complicated, just keep Brees off the damn field. If the home run ball ends up being there for Eli, that's fine, but controlling the clock with long drives, the best way for Big Lou to get the job done. Now, having said that, Sid, their offensive line must continue to show improvement, allowing Mr. Saquon Barkley to do his thing running around. Key injuries for the Giants: Olivier Vernon, Eli Apple, Evan Engram out. None really for the Saints. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Russ Salzburg here at MetLife. Sid, pal, back to you.
All right, Russ, great job. By the way, Russ Salzburg has a terrific podcast on the OG Network. You can hear it each and every week here on WABC. And, of course, tomorrow he'll make an appearance on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, the best morning show anywhere, not just in New York City, but around the country. One more note on that Giant game. The Giants are a three-point home dog today, one of three teams around the NFL that are home underdogs today. I got a smile from Rob Fulmer, Jetman, on that one. Three-point home dog against the Saints. How about this one? The Dolphins are 3-0, and the Patriots are 1-2. What? This is the first time since the early 2000s that the Patriots are two games out of first place. The Pats right now are a 6.5-point favorite over the Dolphins up in Foxborough. Let's go live there. Dakota Randall, WEEI, is standing by. It's Tom Brady and the Pats hosting the undefeated Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Sid. I'm here at Gillette Stadium, where you might have heard the sky is falling on the 1-2 Patriots, who will host the undefeated Miami Dolphins on a sunny day in Massachusetts. New England has lost two straight and hasn't lost three straight games since 2002, and Tom Brady's offense has looked slow and unimpressive. But just as bad has been Bill Belichick's defense, which is one of the worst in the NFL at stopping the run. As for the 3-0 Dolphins, they've looked explosive on offense, led by speedy wideouts Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson, as well as a thunder and lightning backfield of Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake that should give New England all it can handle. Adam Gase's defense has played well this season against the run, but it has been susceptible against the pass, something Brady will look to take advantage of. The Patriots, of course, would benefit from having Josh Gordon available, but the star wideout still is questionable with a hamstring injury. Miami hasn't won in New England since 2008, and that's a drought the Patriots want to see continue. But despite all the struggles, as you said, the Pats enter this game as 7-point home favorites over the Finns. And again, I'm Dakota Randall for Sid Sports Sunday. Back to you in the studio, Sid.
All right, thank you, Dakota. Patriots and Dolphins, again, a big game inside that AFC East coming up today. How about the Chicago Bears? Folks, they look like they're back. They lead the NFL with 14 sacks. Khalil Mack has been a great acquisition, the former Oakland Raider. They find themselves at 2-1, and today, hosting the red-hot Ryan Fitzpatrick, became the only quarterback in the history of the NFL. I'm talking Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, and Terry Bradshaw to have three consecutive 400-yard efforts with his effort last week, but he's got to take on a Bear defense that is very, very good. The 2-1 Chicago Bears hosting the 2-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We go to Chicago. That's where David Hupp is standing by from the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Dave.
Thanks, Sid. This is David Hoff from the Chicago Tribune here at Soldier Field, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in to play the Chicago Bears, the first-place Bears, that is. Boy, this has been a surprise here in Chicago. The Bears are trying to do what they haven't done in 5 years, and that's win three games in a row, and it won't be easy. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in having made NFL history, throwing three straight 400-yard passing games. And that's going to be a challenge for the Bears defense, but this is a good defense. It's not actually a good defense. It's a great defense, one that has the Bears thinking playoffs, if you can believe that. This is a team under first-year head coach Matt Nagy, who had modest expectations back in the offseason, but once they traded for Khalil Mack, it changed everything. The context of everything is different at Hallis Hall. The Bears suddenly are dominant. They lead the NFL in sacks, and they don't even blitz that much. It's all going to leave it up to their offense, Mitch Trubisky, who makes his 16th NFL start. He doesn't have to be the reason they win, but he cannot be the reason they lose. And if the Bears can pull this off, they head into the bye week at 3-1, one of the surprise teams in the NFL, and we will wait and see if they can pull that one off, because that would be quite a story here in a football city. So from the Chicago Tribune, I'm David Hall. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, David. Okay, how about the Jaguars? They beat the Giants and the Patriots. Start the season at 2-0. They look like world beaters. And last week, they can't score a touchdown against Tennessee. In come the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, that impressive first win over Detroit. They have not won a game since. So it's the Jaguars at 2-1 as nearly a touchdown favorite, hosting the Jets at 1-2. We go live to TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville, where Ashlyn Sullivan is standing by. Good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning, Sid. Yes, it's a beautiful morning here in Jacksonville. 85 degrees. It's considered pretty cool here for Jacksonville. This is the end of a three-game homestand for the Jaguars. It has been very, very hot. That has been the storyline. The other storyline for the Jaguars is bouncing back. Like you said, a tough loss to Tennessee Titans last week. Offensive production was very poor, didn't score a touchdown. The Jaguars offense needs to get back on track. Blake Bortles needs to get back on track. The wide receivers had a lot of drop passes last week. They need to get back on track, and this Jaguars team needs to get a win. The rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold, like you said, for the New York Jets, he's been sensational. I think he's going to be tested against this Jaguars defense. I don't think he's seen a pass rush, and I don't think he's seen a defense like the Jaguars have to offer yet this season. Leonard Fournette, that's the question everyone's been asking. He looks great at practice all week. It looks a questionable, but still expected to play. I think he does play today against the Jets, and I think the Jaguars will get away with a win with that 7-point favorite. For Ashlyn Sullivan for the Jacksonville Jaguars, thanks, Sid.
All right, thank you, Ashlyn. My good friend Stephanie Perales is in Jacksonville as we speak. A big Jet fan like Rob Fulmer, she says the place is packed with Jet fans all over Jacksonville. Well represented, just like you, Jet man Rob Fulmer. We'll do one more. It's the big one tonight. One of the great rivalries in the NFL out of the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, fresh off their impressive win over the Buccaneers on Monday night, hosting a Raven team with Joe Flacco that looks very good after the first couple of weeks. It's the 2-1 Steelers hosting the 2-1 Ravens. Later on tonight at Heinz Field, we go to Rich Walsh in Pittsburgh with the latest. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, Sid, you're right. This is one of the best rivalries, and winning cures all. No more drama in that Steelers locker room. The Steelers locker room is totally different this week, this time, than this time last week. The Steelers are coming off their first win of the season Monday night in Tampa, and a big reason was Big Ben, 300 yards passing for the third straight game. If the Steelers win this game tonight, I would expect similar numbers from Ben because the run game has been pretty much non-existent. James Conner, he's good, but he's not Le'Veon Bell, who's still MIA. Ben also will get help back on the offensive line. All pro right guard and right tackle are back. David DeCastro and Marcus Gilbert are both back after missing Monday night. Injury news, not as good on defense, which could be a problem against a pretty efficient Ravens offense. The Steelers will be out without one of their biggest playmakers on defense, and this could be a problem considering the Steelers are one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Mike Hilton will miss with a hyperextended elbow. Hilton had two turnovers last game in Tampa. Now, tonight won't be your typical Steelers-Ravens slugfest kind of game. I expect a ton of points, but I think this one will be close. I mean, if you look at these stats, 16 of the last 20 have been decided by 7 or fewer points, 13 of those by 3 or less. Now, the Steelers are really good on Sunday nights, winning 9 straight. They've also won 3 straight against the Ravens, and nobody is better than Ben Roethlisberger in prime time. He's 21-3 all-time in prime time in Pittsburgh. I'm Rich Walsh. Back to you, Sid.
Excellent job, Rich. Thank you very much. Oh, so many big games today. Again, 8 in the 1 o'clock hour, 4 in the 4 o'clock hour before the Steelers and Ravens tonight. A huge baseball day. And by the way, coming up this hour, one of the best interviews I've ever done, I have to say that, and that is the great basketball mind, Rick Pitino, stopping by Sid Sports Sunday. Of course, around the league was driven by Ramsey Mazda. We'll take our first break of the day. When we get back, Brandon Lee is here talking fantasy sports. Who should you start and who should you sit today? Live from the lobby at the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. It's week 4 of Sid Sports Sunday, and we'll come right back right after these short messages.
WABC.
You gotta be ready to go.
Breakfast in bed with Sid. A dream come true. Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda every Sunday.
Man, oh man, they can't stop them.
77 WABC.
Coming to you live once again from the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on a sun-splashed beach day in New Jersey. It is Sid Sports Sunday, and what a show we've got planned for you today. Rick Pitino, the great basketball mind, he's going to stop by next segment. Former all-time New York Yankee great Jim Leyritz live right here coming up next hour. How about my boy Danny B went 5-0 against the spread last week. He'll be back at 9 o'clock this morning. And, of course, we put this time aside each and every Sunday morning to talk fantasy sports with Brandon Lee. Brandon, of course, does a terrific job writing for The Athletic as well as Sportsline Fantasy Alarm. You can find her on Twitter at BrandonHerFBB. With some fantasy football driven by Ramsey Mazda, it's our good friend Brandon Lee. Good Sunday morning, Brandon. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Sid. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back on this very, very big day live from the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. Let's go with this. Last Thursday night, the Cleveland Browns, Tyrod Taylor got hurt. The rookie made his debut, Baker Mayfield. He was good enough to beat the New York Jets. That made it very exciting for Browns fans. But today, they're taking on an Oakland Raider defense, which got better last week under John Gruden. So the question becomes, Brandon, would you start the Browns rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield against the Raiders today?
It always depends in fantasy who your other option is, but I will say this. Baker Mayfield is a new high-floor option for fantasy players, and this is because he's a mobile quarterback, and those guys always score more fantasy points because you get more points for those rushing yards. However, he's not just a mobile quarterback. In fact, he was considered the most accurate, analyzed football player to come out of college at the quarterback position with a 69.8% completion rate, which is fantastic. Fantastic for any college quarterback. In fact, again, the highest in the modern era. And to put that in context, Drew Brees and is one of the only people who's ever had that accuracy percentage in the National Football League over the course of a season ever. Okay, it's him, Sam Bradford, and Ken Anderson, if you can believe it. So, my feeling is he's not just a runner. He's also incredibly accurate, which is why he was also my number one quarterback coming out of this draft.
All right, so you're saying play him today. Hey, the Patriots, they've been miserable offensively, evidenced by the fact that they're 1-2, taking on a Miami Dolphin team that may be the biggest surprise in the NFL. They're off to a 3-0 start and playing some pretty good defense. Pats actually need the former Brown wide receiver, Josh Gordon. Did not play last week. Would you play Josh as a flex this week or be safe and maybe wait one more week?
I think I'm going to be safe. I still don't like that he hasn't been able to get the kind of reps that I'd like him to see with Tom Brady. That's a very complicated offense. We've seen this before with wide receivers of all calibers going there and just not really getting it done right away. Obviously, the upside is immense, so he could go out there and do something crazy. But, man, you know, it's been since 2013 since we've seen that, kind of
right.
Play calling. That's a long time, Sid.
Right, no question. Hey, one of the good matchups today, I think, features the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Both offenses have been pretty good here so far this season. And the Bengals have a couple of running backs, Giovanni Bernard, the North Carolina product, and Joe Mixon. I guess you play both of those guys today in Atlanta against the Falcons?
Well, you know, Giovanni Bernard has, you know, really been the main guy because Joe Mixon has been out with this knee injury. He says he's feeling great on it. But Giovanni Bernard is the play here today, and you just have to do it. It's a good matchup. And by the way, the Bengals in general looking pretty decent this year. A little bit of a surprise. I like it.
Yeah, you're right. Joe Mixon is out today. One of the other featured matchups today features a Bears team in first place at 2-1, leading the NFL with 14 sacks. Khalil Mack has been a beast, taking on Ryan Fitzpatrick, the hottest quarterback in football, a record breaker, the only quarterback ever to throw for 400 yards in three consecutive games. So that bodes the question, as hot as Ryan Fitzpatrick is, do you play him against a very tough Bears defense at Soldier Field?
Oh, yeah. I think this is the time where you start walking away slowly from the Fitzmagic. I love Fitzmagic. I actually played him last week against my better judgment, and it worked out. The first half, it didn't look like it. But the second half, it came back and was magical again. This week, you're right. Khalil Mack just is terrifying to me. I still think he'll be fine, but he's not that big-time play like he was the first 3 weeks.
Brandon Lee joining us right here with a fantasy report live from the Hard Rock. I think the most exciting offensive game of the day potentially could be the Giants and Saints coming up at 4:25 here in New Jersey later on this afternoon. Should be lots of points, lots of points. Eli Manning was brilliant last week. Drew Brees is great every single week. So with all those big-time players on both teams, I guess you got to start everybody in this Giants-Saints matchup today, yes?
Yeah, you do. A 50.5 over-under doesn't lie. And I would also say that my favorite play of the week is Sterling Shepard, who I think is going to get a lot of action with Evan Engram out with that sprained MCL. And Sterling Shepard really came up when he needed to come up last season. I think we're going to see that again today. A lot of volume. So, yeah, go grab them all up.
All right, last one, big AFC North matchup tonight. The Steelers and the Ravens, both 2-1, both good teams, and a lot of good history and tradition there. Roethlisberger was amazing Monday against the Buccaneers. Antonio Brown is now a week removed from the nonsense that happened on the field and off the field, quite frankly. Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown against the Ravens tonight, Brandon. What do you think of that 1-2 punch?
Yeah, no, I think it's good because they're at home. They're in prime time. That's when both of them flourish. I will say this is a tougher defense than what they've been facing so far this season. The Ravens are doing a really good job against the quarterback and running back. I think James Conner might struggle a little bit here. But, you know, look on the other side there, too. Joe Flacco surprisingly is putting up a lot of fantasy points as well, everyone. And the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, as we have seen, cannot stop anyone.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, the Browns, I should say the Ravens actually added two or three wide receivers that have really made Flacco's offense, crazy to say this, but dangerous the first couple of weeks of the NFL season. And you're right, the Steelers can't stop anybody, so.
Yeah, no.
Should be big numbers all over the field. Again, check out Brandon Lee's work. She's terrific. The Athletic, Sportsline Fantasy Alarm. She's on Twitter at Brandon, her FBB. Brandon, excellent job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Brandon Lee here each and every week. Sunday at 8:20. Once again, Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. When we get back, this is one of the great basketball minds in the history of the sport. Hugely successful stays as the head coach of Providence, Kentucky, Louisville, and pretty good stays as well, coaching the Boston Celtics and especially the New York Knicks in the NBA. But it all came crashing down in a controversial firing at Louisville last year. We talk about all those specifics with the great Rick Pitino on Sid Sports Sunday right after these short messages.
WABC. Free Sid, free sports thinking on demand on the free WABC radio app.
You know, one of the things I love about Sid Sports Sunday is it's not just an NFL show. Yes, we do spend a lot of time talking about the National Football League, previewing all the games. Later on today, big local weekend, Jets and Jaguars at 1, Giants hosting the Saints at 4:30. But we do everything on this show. Hockey, basketball, baseball, playoffs here starting this week. And our next guest on this show is truly a basketball legend. Whether we're talking about the Knickerbockers and Celtics in the NBA or great stays at schools like Providence, Kentucky, and Louisville in college hoops, very few, if any, ever better than my next guest, my friend Rick Pitino. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back. You did a terrific job a couple days ago, Thursday morning, with me and Bernie on the Bernie and Sid morning. So great to have you here on Sid Sports Sunday. Today is a big football day. This show does a lot of football. I know you grew up a Knick fan. I think a Yankee fan. What about football, Jets or Giants, Coach?
Giants.
Really?
Yes. Main reason growing up a Giant fan were some of the old players, but I'm good friends with the Mara family, especially Chris Mara.
Sure.
And so I root for the Giants.
You're good friends with everybody. He's got a podcast starting, Pitino, in a couple of weeks. And he's got, like, Derek Jeter and a couple of big names coming your way.
Well, I'm trying to stay active in the sport. I love baseball, love the Yankees, always followed the Yankees from Mickey Mantle on. You know, one day I walked in, assistant coach of the Knicks. I walked into Mickey Mantle's to grab a beer after a Knick game, assistant coach with UB Brown, and there sat Mickey Mantle, and it was a few years before Mickey Mantle and Billy Martin.
Wow.
And I introduced myself. They said, sit down. They had a few more beers than I had at that point in time.
Right. I can see that. Oh, that's funny. That's a great story, though.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you set a system with UB Brown. You would eventually take over Knicks coach from UB Brown. Two seasons. Solid season one, much improved from the year before, and then a great season two, a 52-win season. Talked about Patrick Ewing, Mark Jackson, Kiki, Jay New, the Wilkins boys. I mean, a lot of talent on that basketball team, and you had a great year with the Knickerbockers.
It was exciting. We were averaging almost 117 points a game. The Garden was sold out. It was exciting times. I'm still close with Patrick and Mark today, and Patrick's I know he's going to do a great job at Georgetown getting them back. Mark's doing a great job as a commentator on television, along with Jeff Van Gundy, who wrote the foreword in my book.
Wow. Also a great Knick coach. And by the way, Mark may be working alongside Breen and Mark Jackson now, but with all the great work Steve Kerr has done in Golden State, let's give Mark Jackson his due credit. He started that thing.
He really did. You know, Mark, the Mark Jackson I know has always stayed in touch with me, has always just been a wonderful person. I loved coaching him, very highly, highly intelligent. I never forget, I think it was 17, 18, 19 years he played in the league, and we had his going-away party, and we were sitting there, and at that time, Rod Strickland, who today I'm very fond of.
He was on your team as well that year.
But Rod, I would triple fine. We used to lie to Rod about practice. We would say, Rod, practice is starting at 10 o'clock, when in fact it started at 11.
Right.
So we knew if we can convince him it was 10, we had a 50-50 shot at him showing up on time at 11.
That's funny. He was always getting into trouble. You're right, Rick Pitino. The book is out, Pitino, My Story. You know, you did coach Boston, too, the very famous quote, Bird, McHale, and Parrish. They're not walking in anytime soon. You have said to me and others in the past that you were disappointed for the most part, even though that first year in Boston, you gained an extra 21 wins. You had the team going in the right direction. You think, do it all over, you could have done a better job in Boston with the Celtics.
If I didn't, I took over. Dave Gavitt recommended, who is a close mentor of mine, told me to be president as well as coach. And if I had to do it all over again, I would just focus on coaching. The president's job, first of all, I wasn't qualified to be a president of a team. I'm a basketball coach. I'm a junkie 24 hours a day teaching the game of basketball. So that really wasn't my thing. It was a mistake. I shouldn't have been involved in trades. I should have just taught the game of basketball. And,
right.
And that's where my mistake lies.
That's fair. And, of course, a lot of the guys that starred for you in those early years in Boston were the same kids, basically, the Antoine Walkers, the Ron Mercers, that got you national championships at Kentucky.
Well, the biggest problem I had was the ping pong balls. If I would have gotten Duncan instead of...
Wow.
I mean, we had two in the top six, and I was banking on getting 1-2, 1-3. Instead, I got the worst possible scenario, 3-6.
Aye.
So I crapped out with a lot of money on the table.
But still a fun stay, and you made a huge improvement in year one. But, of course, a lot of folks think of you as that college guy because you went back twice to college after the pros. And although, listen, I still talk about it. When the Big East was the real Big East, when Ewing was at Georgetown, Chris Mullin and Walter Berry at St. John's, that's when I became a big college basketball fan, Rick. And the job you did back then in that era with Providence and Billy Donovan, to this day, one of the best coaching jobs ever.
Well, thank you. We had, during the season, we beat Georgetown at the buzzer. And John Thompson, during the game, Bill Raftery was doing the game. We always talk about
onions.
He came down at half court and started screaming at me. This is national television. And I turned to my assistant, Gordy Chiesa. I said, is he yelling at me? One of my players went to block Perry McDonald's shot, caught his hand on the backboard, and he jammed his finger and fractured it.
Oh, wow.
And John Thompson was yelling vulgarities at me at half court. And so I went up there. I stood at his navel, all Italians in the arena. And I said, what's up, Big John? Remember, he's a Providence College graduate. I said, what's up, Big John? He said, you guys are the dirtiest bunch of MFs I've ever coached against in my life. And I started laughing because I'm coaching a bunch of choir boys.
Right.
And I started laughing, and he said, you're laughing at me. He went ballistic at me. I got my, with my 14,000 Italians in the stands behind me, I got very, very upset. We went after each other. Well, we made a shot at the buzzer, and now I have to go shake his hand.
Oh, boy.
And I go up to him, puts his arm around me and says, I had to put on that show. My team was flat tonight, and I'm really, really proud of what you're doing with my alma mater. But you're going to come into Georgetown last game of the season, and we're going to kick your effing ass in big time.
And what happened?
They beat us 12-13.
Okay.
And then who did we have to face? In the Big East tournament, by the way, they beat us we beat St. John's first round, second round, with Mark Jackson, I believe. Second round, they kill us, I think, by 25.
Right. But then you get the ultimate revenge.
Who do we have to face to go to the Final Four in Louisville, Kentucky?
Georgetown.
Yep.
And you beat them.
Yep.
Of course, that was the team. The three-point shot started when you were at Providence. You talked about that. Your team was built, along with Billy Donovan, to make those shots. So, look, we know about Providence, Kentucky, the Knicks, and the Celtics. But where it all went wrong for you at the very end, and the book will talk about this, but you know my story, Louisville, where you had so much success. 2013, you win a national championship with guys like Russ Smith and Peyton Silver. You're also inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So 2013, life is great, Rick Pitino, and 4 years later, it all falls apart.
It does, and I talk about that in the book. It's certainly difficult. You know, in a span of 40 years, two things happened that I really don't like. To me, one situation was reprehensible behavior by a group of people, and the second thing I really had nothing to do with. This whole FBI thing, I have nothing and no involvement in it at all. Why they even mentioned me in a complaint is beyond my imagination. Well, I do know why. They did it. They got a lot of publicity out of it, and sometimes, it hurts when you're the reason they try to get publicity.
Sure. And you've made the point that you're even less upset with the university, even though you deserve better, because you talked about loyalty. But you said to me and Bernie a couple of days ago that where you really got screwed here was by the Southern District Court of New York. They're the ones that have angered you more even than the university that let you go.
Well, the university fired the Board of Trustees that was very loyal to the athletic director and to me and our program. They replaced them with a lot of Kentucky graduates, University of Kentucky graduates, and it was a board that really didn't want us there. And that's okay. If you don't want us there, we understand that. That's up to you. But that wasn't the University of Louisville, people. That was a foreign board. The Southern District of New York didn't have a shred of evidence that I was guilty of anything except some scam artist mentioning my name in a private conversation in a hotel room in Las Vegas. There's no evidence at all, because there can't be any evidence against me. If there was, somebody's lying, because I've never given $5 to a player in my career as a head basketball coach.
And they're pretending that you and Adidas hooked up and there was a lot of money.
They said I was speaking to this Jim Gatto, who was indicted, about giving money to a recruit. Well, I can assure you they said that there were three conversations. In reality, there was one conversation that lasted a very short period of time. There were two voicemails left, one by him, one by me, and then one phone call where I said to him, in response, he said, are you recruiting this kid? Do you want him? I said, yeah, we want him. Donovan Mitchell's going to go pro. And he said, "Well, I know some of the people connected with the family. I'll put in a good word."
Okay,
that's it. He never mentioned it. He knew that if he mentioned anything about money to me, he would have been fired the next day from his job.
Sure. So in the end, the court actually came back in their explanation to you as to why, in fact, they did this. Even though, again, there's really no proof and you're innocent, they said something to you that will haunt you forever that, quite frankly, was disgusting.
Well, my lawyer said to him, "You blew up this man's life. He has never done anything that you're saying he's doing. And you left him blown up on the side of the road, dead." And my lawyer worked for the Southern District of New York. His name is Mark Mukasey. His dad was George Bush's U.S. attorney.
Sure.
And
Mark, I think, right?
His father was a different name. It wasn't Mark.
Okay.
My mind's a little dead right now. But but
okay.
Mark Mukasey represented me, and he worked at the Southern District of New York. He started out there and said, "You left him lying on the side of the road." And their response was, "Look, we deal with collateral damage all the time."
That's unbelievable.
You know, it's something. They don't know me. They probably think I'm this corrupt basketball coach who's involved with this whole thing. But, look, they have the FBI with them. And you need to do your homework before you ruin somebody's reputation if you get someone fired. And then you have no remorse at all. And so somebody said to me the other day, said, "Well, you're going to go back into coaching?" I said, "Yes, I will go back into coaching when two things happen. When the University Board of Trustees at the University of Louisville apologize for what they did, and when the Southern District of New York comes out and says, 'We apologize for what happened to you and what we did.'" So we all know I'm not going back into coaching.
I was going to say, what are the odds of, forget about two, one of those even happening, because I was going to say at the very end here, and again, please go buy the book, Patino, My Story. You've said this already on record. I'll ask it again just for this interview. You really don't believe you'll ever coach again. You're 66. You're in great shape. You know the game as well as anybody. You can go to any school today and make them a national contender overnight. And with that said, you don't believe you'll ever coach again.
I don't. I don't because I realize how stressful the last few years have been. And I had a conversation, I told you the other day, with Jim Valvano.
Yes.
And Jim Valvano said when the NCAA came in to investigate NC State, it broke his immune system. And he felt he was unable to fight off the cancer cells that were in his body. He really felt that way.
Wow.
And I told his brother that, and his brother said, yes, he did believe that. So I'm a big believer. I love pressure. You and I go out to Wingfoot. We play around the golf.
Right.
And we're playing for $2 Nassau.
Yeah.
I'll fight you for that $2 for 18 holes.
Right.
We'll shake hands, and we'll have a great time. But that's the competitor in you and me. Well, it doesn't matter the amount of money. It's just the winning. And I love that part of pressure. Pressure is the ally, your best friend in life. But I want no part of that stress.
Sure.
And the last few years have been extremely stressful for me and my family. And I just don't want to, you know, I could see at the press conference now. Rick Pitino now is the head coach of CCNY. And they hire him. And they say, "Okay, Rick, let's get excited about this new style of play. Let's press, let's run, let's get the fans involved." And they start saying, "Well, what about that scandal that hit you?" And that's what happens.
Yeah.
So, and the stress happens again. So I think I'm ready to turn the page. I think I'm ready to start my podcast and just be a big fan of college and professional basketball.
All right, there you have it, Rick Pitino. The book is Pitino, My Story. The podcast does come your way second week of October, including huge names. Derek Jeter, week two. Who's week one?
Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan is star
Billy
Providence.
The kid.
It's right before they take on Golden State, Oklahoma
right.
City. So it's going to be all great for Rick Pitino. Thank you for stopping by today. I'm a huge fan, and you deserve better. But hopefully you will live out the rest of your life happy and proud of what you've accomplished in your lifetime.
Well, I've been walking the streets of New York the last few weeks because I live here now. I just moved back. And
yeah.
The conversations are so refreshing by truck drivers, by cab drivers.
Yeah.
And I just walk with a smile on my face with a cup of coffee. And the streets of New York have been kind to me.
You're home. And welcome home. We love you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Pitino. The book is Pitino, My Story. More of Sid Sports Sunday right after these short messages.
Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday, 77 WABC. 77 WABC. Spectacular guests.
Yes.
Spectacular picks. Spectacular sports. Spectacular stories. Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Spectacular.
77 WABC.
Spectacular.
Ice cold Michelle. Fight for that white gold. This one for them good girls.
All right, back here on Sid Sports Sunday. Coming to you live this morning from the gorgeous lobby at the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City on a sun-splashed beach day in New Jersey. Jets in Jacksonville coming up at 1. The Giants, they'll host the Saints later on this afternoon. We'll get back to the NFL and the Yankees. All-time Yankee great Jim Leyritz is here. He'll join us next hour. But we do take this time every Sunday morning on Sid Sports Sunday, driven, of course, by Ramsey Mazda. Joe Lisi does a great job for GopherThe2.com. It's a great website. If you like college football, you're going to love it. He's actually right down the road from us at Bally's here in Atlantic City this morning, and he joins us live on this Sunday. Joe Lisi, good morning, pal. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. Great week for NFL action, but a great Saturday in college football last night.
It really was. I mean, we sat down at dinner last night. About 10 of us had that Penn State-Ohio State game on, and Penn State moves out at home to a 12-point lead, 26-14, and it looks like they're going to pull this thing off, and the Buckeyes come roaring back and get themselves a one-point road win. That says to me pretty much, though, that Ohio State now is set up to be a playoff team and certainly a national contender for the championship.
Great point. They came back because of Dwayne Haskins, 270 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. What was interesting about that game, Sid, was that Penn State since 2016 was 16-0 at home and have won those 16 games by 25.6 points per game. But credit Ohio State for making the right plays and just a bad play call with James Franklin coming out of 2 timeouts to run the football on 4th and 5, but credit Urban Meyer, they are a college football playoff contender.
That was a terrible call. I agree with you. Notre Dame, impressive their win over Stanford. Georgia looks really good. I'll tell you what team I'm surprised is still a top 5 team, and that's Clemson. I know there were injuries at quarterback. He got banged up again yesterday, but they barely got by A&M and Jimbo Fisher in week 2, and yesterday they barely got by Syracuse. I don't think Clemson, Joe Lisi, is a top 5 team this year.
Yeah, they're really not playing that way, but still defensively, they still have a top defensive line with Alabama, and their secondary's playing well, giving up less than 160 passing yards per game. And the one thing that they are doing, Sid, is they're forcing turnovers. They got some critical turnovers in the second half that allowed them to score and win that ball game 27-23. Not playing as consistent as some of the other teams, but they're still the best team in the ACC at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, for me, they're a bit down. You may be right, they're still the best team, but a team that's really up. They looked great again last night. They are just blowing out teams every Saturday, and that's LSU. To me, LSU, at this point, outside of Alabama, of course, as good as any team in the country. They blew out Ole Miss last night. Your thoughts on LSU?
Yeah, great point. I mean, the one thing about LSU, they didn't have a lot of big names heading into 2018, but they can still run the football and shut down the run effectively. And with a player like Greedy Williams leading that secondary, they're going to be very difficult in the SEC West. They have a critical game against Florida next week. If they get through that game, it's all eyes on Alabama in November. This is a possible college football playoff dark horse, and they're getting solid quarterback play by Joe Burrow. As long as he doesn't turn the football over, this is a legit team for 2018.
He really is good. Let's talk about the Irish. The Irish, they beat Stanford yesterday. They're looking pretty good. I mean, they're looking very good, actually. So it feels like a while since Brian Kelly has had a really, really good football team. How good are the Irish?
Yeah, they're very good. They are a top 5 team, in my opinion, after last night's dominating double-digit win over Stanford. Back-to-back road games for the Cardinal, and they held Stanford's offense, again, to only 55 rushing yards per game and less than 250 yards in that ballgame. They only passed for 175 yards in that matchup. Stanford, not the same Stanford team that we've seen in recent years running the football, but credit Notre Dame, over 200 passing, over 200 rushing, and Ian Book is the real deal to lead this offense.
Stanford will host Utah coming up this weekend. Joe Lisi, GopherThe2.com, another monster day in college football yesterday. Is it fair to say, as good as LSU is, as good as Notre Dame is, even Ohio State with that road win yesterday, is there a little bit of a distance, Alabama, Georgia, between the next round of teams, or does Ohio State, maybe Notre Dame and LSU, deserve to be mentioned with the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs?
Well, I think you mentioned the two top teams right now, Alabama and Clemson. They're playing like that because of the physicality.
Alabama and Georgia, right.
But I think you throw those other teams in there, Notre Dame, you throw in Ohio State, you still have to look at, you know, LSU and their progression in the SEC. Again, any team could be knocked off on any given Saturday, but I still think Alabama is the top team in the country heading into week number six.
As we head out here, and Alabama, by the way, they don't have a very tough matchup next week, taking on Arkansas. A good matchup next week features Texas and Oklahoma out of the Big 12, two pretty good teams. Joe, when people go to GoForTheTwo.com on a daily basis, what are they going to find?
Well, they find my weekly picks. They're up there every Monday first before anybody out in Vegas. They get a video. They get all the week's action in terms of breaking down stats and statistics for all the top 25 games in the country.
Joe, you're always terrific. Thank you so much. The website is great. It was a great day at college football, and can't wait till next week, buddy. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Sid. Love the show.
Love you, too. Ramsey Mazza, of course, drives Sid Sports Sunday. That's 1 hour in the books. Got a very exciting hour number two coming up. We have Stringers once again at six of the biggest games across the National Football League coming to you live next hour. All-time Yankee great Jim Leyritz is here. The Yanks are back in the playoffs. We'll talk to Bernie Dillon from the Hard Rock. Danny B, 5-0 last week against the spread. He's going to hop back on as well. And Jetman, Rob Fulmer, is here, too. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of Sid Sports Sunday, live from the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. Coming right back, right after these words.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. 77 WABC.
1, 2, 3.
Sid Sports Sunday. Every Sunday. The NJDiet.com studios. 77 WABC New York. Cumulus Station. This is Sid Sports Sunday. Driven by Ramsey Mazda. Sid Rosenberg. The stories. The stats. The edge.
Wentz with time. Roethlisberger, sidearms it downfield, complete. Smith Schuster, what a play!
Every Sunday,
Manning throws end zone, touchdown. Sterling Shepard.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda on 77 WABC.
Pressure now on Mahomes. He's in trouble. Now gets it away. Are you kidding me?
Now, Sid Rosenberg.
And welcome back, folks. Hour number two of Sid Sports Sunday coming to you live this morning from the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on a sun-splash, beautiful day on the beach in New Jersey for a week four of the National Football League. Of course, Sid Sports Sunday driven by Ramsey Mazda. And what an exciting hour we've got coming up. Former New York Yankee great Jim Leyritz is going to be here. Danny B momentarily. By the way, he went 5-0 against the spread last week. Bernie Dillon from the Hard Rock here in Atlantic City, and Jetman 2. You know, we covered so much in the first hour. What a big day in baseball today, folks. Do you realize after 161 baseball games, there are still two divisions that are deadlocked going to the very last game of the season? NL Central, the Cubs and Brewers are tied. NL West, the Dodgers and Rockies are tied. But on a local note, one of the all-time greats, David Wright, said goodbye for the Mets last night. He struck out, I believe, and walked. And David Wright, what an amazing career, specifically in those mid-2000s. Here's what David Wright had to say last night as his career with the Mets comes to an end.
When I first got called up, all the older players told me that there's passionate fans here. You know, they like to boo. They like to get on you. Well, you guys have had my back, and you guys have welcomed me. A 21-year-old kid from Virginia welcomed as a New Yorker.
Thanks for the memories, a great David Wright. By the way, those games today, the Rockies will host the Nats. That's a 3:10 start, Anderson and Fetty. As for the Dodgers, they are in San Francisco, a 3:05 start. That's Hill and Suarez. In the other matchup, the Brewers are going to host the Tigers today. That's Gio Gonzalez and Spencer Turnbull. And the Cubbies will host the Cardinals. That's Montgomery and Flaherty. One more sports note of worth. And that is the NBA preseason. Who cares about that? Well, ESPN does. They're going to televise a preseason game tonight because it's LeBron James making his debut for the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's King James on that big night tonight.
Well, my expectation, is to try to get better every single day. I don't expect nothing. You work for what you want, and you can't expect anything. I think for me, it's all part of the process. And what I know I can bring to the table is, being committed to, having excellence, every single day from a mindset standpoint and from, how I prepare to go out and play. So, everything else take care of itself.
By the way, the Knicks start their preseason tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. Again, it is an NFL week number 4. Locally, Jets in Jacksonville, Giants hosting the Saints. Around the League is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Of course, my dear friend Pete Morgan, upgrade your boiler with a 95% efficient Peerless Boiler Combi and start saving big on your heat and water bills today. Go to peerlessboilers.com, put in your zip code, and find a friendly dealer near you. Remember, Peerless Boilers, America's best built boilers, and it's time now to go around the league. Let's start in New Jersey. But later on this afternoon, the football Giants fresh off their first win of the season. Eli Manning amazing in the win in Houston against the Texans last week. Giants welcome in one of the best offensive players in the history of the NFL, and that's Saints quarterback Drew Brees. The Giants are one of just 3 NFL teams today that are home underdogs. It's the Giants and the Saints, and WABC's very own Russ Salzburg is live at MetLife Stadium. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Sid. You set it up pretty well with temperatures expecting to reach as high, really, as 70 degrees by the 4:30 kickoff time here at bright and sunny MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Pat Shermer's 2-1 Giants are going to be looking for their second win in a row against Sean Payton's high-scoring 2-1 Saints, led, of course, by the man you said, Drew Brees, who last week became the NFL's all-time completions leader, now standing at 6,326. With 104 points after just 3 games, Saints lead the league in scoring. But the flip side is they've also given up the most in the NFL with 103. So what can we expect here at MetLife on this sunny afternoon? Well, coming off of his stellar 25-for-29 performance down in Houston last week for 297 yards and 2 touchdowns, some are expecting Eli Manning and the Giants to get themselves caught up in a shootout with Brees and the Saints. But if you ask me, Sid, that would be a huge mistake. After 3 games, Brees has completed more than 80% of his passes, covering over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Best way to defend against those kinds of numbers, pal, is to keep the ball out of Brees' hands, and that means keeping him off the field. Of course, if the home run ball winds up being there for Eli to connect, let's say, with Odell Beckham Jr. or anybody else, okay, have at it. But the best way to take care of business for the Giants, to me, is to control time of possession with long drives. For that to happen, the Big Blue offensive line must continue to show improvement, making way for Saquon Barkley to do his thing. As for key injuries today, none for the Saints. Evan Engram, Eli Apple, and Olivier Vernon all out for the Giants. For Sid Sports Sunday, I'm Russ Salzburg here at MetLife Stadium. Sid, back to you. Talk to you tomorrow, pal.
All right, Russ, great job. You'll be on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show tomorrow. Dolphins are 3-0. That is a very, very big surprise. In New England, taking on the Patriots, they have not been 2 games back in over a decade. 3-0 Dolphins at the 1-2 Patriots. Dakota Randall is live in Foxborough. We're for a 1 o'clock kickoff. Dakota, what's going on, pal?
Yes, and I'm here at Gillette Stadium with a bunch of nervous Patriots fans who want to see their 1-2 team turn things around against the undefeated Miami Dolphins. New England's offense has looked ugly this season, but could get help today in the form of Josh Gordon. The star wideout has been sidelined with a hamstring injury since coming over from the Browns, but Ian Rappaport is reporting there's a good chance Gordon makes his debut today against Miami. Speaking of the Dolphins, they've been impressive on offense so far, led by a resurgent Ryan Tannehill and a speedy playmaking group of wideouts. The Patriots defense has been one of the worst in the NFL against the run, and they'll have their hands full today with Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. Pats haven't lost three straight since 2002, and Miami hasn't won in Foxborough since 2008. Two droughts Bill Belichick, of course, would love to see continue today. Despite all the Pats' struggles, they enter this game as 7-point home favorites over the Finns. And again, I'm Dakota Randall for Sid Sports Sunday. Back to you in the studio, Sid.
Thank you, Dakota. Huge game tonight. Huge rivalry tradition. AFC North, the Steelers and the Ravens both look very good offensively this year. The Steelers come off a big win over the Buccaneers on Monday night. And Joe Flacco looks reborn with the Ravens. It's Heinz Field. It's the last game of the day later on tonight. Rich Walsh, KDKA Television, is live at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. It's the Steelers and the Ravens. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Sid. Thanks. I'd like to point out first, the Steelers are really good in primetime over the years. They've won 9 straight Sunday night games. And Ben Roethlisberger seems to be at his best when the lights are on. He's 21-3 all-time in primetime games. He's also coming up his third straight 300-yard passing game. And that's what the Steelers will need again tonight from Ben, because his run game has been pretty much non-existent without Le'Veon Bell. James Conner's been good, but just very inconsistent. Injury news is good on the offense for the Steelers, which might help this run game and get it going. Right guard David DeCastro and right tackle Marcus Gilbert are both back after missing Monday night's game. Tonight won't be your typical Steelers-Ravens slugfest kind of game. This is the highest over-under I've seen for this game in years. I expect a ton of points, but I still think this one will be close. Kind of like last year's 39-38 Steelers win. 16 of the last 20 have been decided by 7 or fewer points. 13 of those, 3 or less. The Steelers have won 3 straight against the Ravens in Pittsburgh. I'm Rich Walsh. Back to you, Sid.
Thank you, Rich. Big matchup for the Jets today. They're 1-2. They had that big win for Darnold week 1 against the Lions. They have not won since. The Jaguars, a shocking loss to the Titans last week. The scene of today's crime is TIAA Bankfield in Jacksonville. It's the 2-1 Jaguars hosting Sam Darnold and the 1-2 Jets. Ashlyn Sullivan is in Jacksonville standing by. Good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning, Sid. Thanks so much. Yes, a pretty cool day on Jacksonville terms here, a high of 85. It has been absolutely brutal here in the month of September for the Jaguars, ending a 3-game homestand today. Looking at the Jets here, I think rookie sensation Sam Darnold has been so talented this season, but I think he will be tested against the Jaguars defense. I don't think he's seen a pass rush. I don't think he's seen a defense like the Jaguars yet this season. We had head coach Doug Marrone for the Jaguars and Blake Bortles talk about not treating Sam Darnold like a rookie, treating him with respect and knowing how talented he is. But I do think he will be tested today. The big question on offense is whether Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette is going to play. He looked great in practice all week, cutting, running, quick. I think he's still listed as questionable, but I think you will see him out there today, and that Jaguars offense needs him. They were unproductive last week against the Titans, did not score a touchdown. I think the entire unit needs to play better. Blake Bortles needs to play better. The wide receivers dropped these few balls last week. They need to play better. I think Leonard Fournette will really help this offense out, but I think it's going to be a great game, guys. For Jaguars.com, I'm Ashlyn Sullivan. Thanks, Sid.
All right, thank you. One more big game at Soldier Field today. Look out. The Chicago Bears are back. They're 2-1. They've got a fierce pass rush on defense. And here come the Buccaneers with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who set a record last week, the only quarterback ever. I mean, Unitas, Montana, Bradshaw, Dan Marino. He's the only quarterback ever to have 3 consecutive 400-yard passing efforts. It's the red-hot Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers at Soldier Field today for the first-place Chicago Bears. And here's David Hoff from 670 AM The Score standing by. Good morning, David.
Thanks, Sid. This is David Hoff from the Chicago Tribune here at Soldier Field, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in to play the Chicago Bears, the first-place Bears, that is. Boy, this has been a surprise here in Chicago. The Bears are trying to do what they haven't done in 5 years, and that's win 3 games in a row, and it won't be easy. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in having made NFL history, throwing 3 straight 400-yard passing games. And that's going to be a challenge for the Bears defense, but this is a good defense. It's not actually a good defense. It's a great defense, one that has the Bears thinking playoffs, if you can believe that. This is a team under first-year head coach Matt Nagy, who had modest expectations back in the offseason, but once they traded for Khalil Mack, it changed everything. The context of everything is different at Hallis Hall. The Bears suddenly are dominant. They lead the NFL in sacks, and they don't even blitz that much. It's all going to leave it up to their offense, Mitch Trubisky, who makes his 16th NFL start. He doesn't have to be the reason they win, but he cannot be the reason they lose. And if the Bears can pull this off, they head into the bye week at 3-1, one of the surprise teams in the NFL, and we will wait and see if they can pull that one off, because that would be quite a story here in a football city. So from the Chicago Tribune, I'm David Hall. Back to you, Sid.
All right, thank you, David. Bears and Buccaneers begin. And we put this time aside every Sunday morning, the second segment of the 9 o'clock hour, for Danny B. Danny B. wins. Danny B. Onkulo. Last week, by the way, folks, 5-0, undefeated against the spread, undefeated on Sid Sports Sunday. Let's get to a Danny's Picks analysis sponsored by dbwins.com. dbwins.com, picking winners for four decades and betting professionally for 35 years. It's dbwins.com. Play it, Bruce.
This segment is sponsored by dbwins.com.
All right, Danny, 5-0 last week. That's terrific week for you. Two or three of those, I even thought you were crazy.
Absolutely. You challenged me.
I did, but you were right. Gutty call with the
Steelers.
I'm
always right, Sid.
You're not always right.
Most of the time.
A lot of the time.
Look at my boys there, Sidney. Come on. Childhood friends right there in the
audience. Who are those guys?
Mike Philpott and Paris Pizziona.
Wow. Jewish.
The old crew from back in the day, man.
Oh, cool. Thanks for coming down, guys. Yeah. Like, they came here from where to see the show today?
San Diego.
Is that right? Scott Kaplan and Billy Ray Smith, a big old show out there. That's my buddy.
Football coach. He's a coach out there.
Football coach. Okay. Well, let's get to it. 5-0 last week. People are excited to hear your picks this week. I know you like this Dolphin-Patriot game.
Right.
Dolphins are undefeated. Pats have lost two in a row. That's kind of a weird new deal this year. Pats about a touchdown home favorite. Who do you like?
We're going with New England, man. 6.5. You got to jump on the Pats. Miami streak ends today. I like New England.
You like New England. You know, so do I.
By 10. They're going to win by 10 or
more.
By 10? Yeah.
So the Dolphins, the unbeaten season ends today.
Today.
All right. We just spoke to David Hoff. He's at Soldier Field in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The Bears are 2-1. That defense is vicious, Danny. Khalil Mack has been amazing. Trubisky's getting better. They run the ball well with Howard. But here comes a red-hot Buccaneer offense into Soldier Field. I think the line is only about a field goal. Who do you like there?
Going with Chicago, my man. They stopped Tampa Bay. Just like I said last week, I look at Fitzpatrick. The guy's a stud, right?
Right. He's been great.
300 yards today, not 400.
And that won't be enough to win 300 yards, right? So you like
Chicago.
The Bears.
I like Chicago today.
So two favorites so far. You like the Patriots, nearly a touchdown favorite at home over Miami.
Correct.
Bears about a field goal favorite at home over Tampa Bay. Now let's talk about a road favorite, and that's the Eagles.
Correct.
Carson Wentz came back last week. He looked pretty good.
He did.
Eagles got a big win. They improved to 2-1. They're on the road today as about a field goal favorite. What do you see from the Eagles today?
I see them taking down Tennessee. I had Tennessee last weekend, but I'm going against them today. I like Philadelphia. I like Carson Wentz. Second game back, he puts up some numbers today.
I'm surprised. Tennessee is 2-1. They beat Jacksonville last
2-2
week.
2-2 after today.
2-2 after today. So you like the Eagles. So
I do.
You like the Pats.
I'm not an Eagle fan.
No, I know you're not.
You know
Eagle
that.
Fan. I hate the Eagles. You know that. So you and I couldn't be friends.
Get up around here.
Oh, F them. Come on. Bring it on. Let's go. So you know, Patriots home favorite over Miami. Bears home favorite over Tampa Bay. Eagles road favorite in Tennessee. Now, every once in a while on this show, Danny will do a little parlay, a teaser, an exotic play.
Right.
And I know for a two-team, 6 or 7 point teaser, there is an easy one on the board today. Which one would that be, Danny?
We're going to take Jacksonville. We're going to take them down from 7.5. We're going to grab 7 points. They are minus a half a point.
Just got to win the game.
You're going to connect them with the Packers. Take the Packers down from 9.5 to 2.5.
Wow. So the Packers has to win by a field goal.
A field goal. So we're taking Jacksonville down to a half a point. You're going to connect them with Green Bay at 2.5, minus 2.5. A 7-point teaser.
Now, Green Bay is taking on a Buffalo team.
Come on. They got lucky last week.
16-point dog. They won the game.
Stop it.
They got lucky.
Anybody can get lucky.
So that rookie quarterback, Allen, he's not going to do it again.
Nah, he gets beat up today.
Okay, so all the Packers have to do is win by a field goal. Jaguars just have to beat the Jets.
But they both have to cover for the bet to come in.
Right, of course. Right. Well, there's no tie there because they're both halves. And you usually lose on a teaser tie.
That's right.
Well, you got one more for us?
We're going with Big Ben tonight, my man.
You like the Steelers?
I like him, man. I really do. I see him shining tonight. He does well in prime time. He's at home. They're going to get their first home win of the year.
So you like the Steelers? About a 3-point favorite right now. Is that right?
Absolutely.
3-point favorite.
Hey, on top of that, anybody that calls the office, one free week, Sid.
Oh, really?
One free week of my top plays, including my play of the day today.
And what is that number, Danny B, for the office?
Yeah, 1-800-308-9003. One free week, my top-rated play of the day. This way they get a little taste of everything.
They should know, by the way, that you were 5-0 in the NFL last week, but you've had an extraordinary baseball season. Now, a couple of big games today. Obviously, the Brewers and Cubs are tied for first in the NL Central. Dodgers and Rockies tied for first in the NL
Exciting.
West. So today's a big day for baseball, actually bigger than football. I would imagine on dbwins.com, there'll be some baseball picks.
Absolutely. Again, anybody that calls the office, they have to call during the show, though. That's the key.
Okay.
During your show, at 10 o'clock, it ends.
It ends.
They got to call now.
All right,
1-800-308-9003. Baseball, football, basketball, get right. it all on one call.
Now, you just made five picks on this show.
It's hard to do.
I know it is. And you do that every single week, and you went unbeaten last week. But you've got a couple of games today that you did not mention with me that are home runs, right? These are Grand Slam home runs, if they call that number right now.
That's right. 1-800-308-9003. Just mention Sid.
Now, are you going to put a pickup on Wednesday for the Yankees and the A's for that one-game wild card come Wednesday?
Everything will be there, dbwins.com.
Everything. Now, not preseason basketball. That's
nah, I ain't going there.
That's
I ain't
crazy.
We will dabble with the NBA as soon as it tips off the 15th, right?
That's October 5th, that's
very
right.
early this season.
It is early this season, that's right. So one more time, review the five picks you have for the fans. Again, folks, check out the website. It's a great website, dbwins.com. Undefeated in football last week, had an amazing baseball season, knows his basketball, his hockey, you name it. Review the five picks today.
We're going to go with Brady Bunch today, -6.5. It's a steal. Anything under a touchdown at home, you're going to jump on New England. The Bears, again, Fitzpatrick, he's having a great year. Today, 300 yards, but he doesn't win. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz shines. The teaser, Jacksonville to Green Bay, a 7-pointer, and tonight, Big Ben, ring that bell.
Excellent job. One more time, Danny, for the big pick for the day, baseball, your best NFL picks. What's that number one more time?
1-800-308-9003. You got to call during the show. You got to mention Sid, and you start making money today.
All right. Danny B wins, everybody. 5-0 last week in the NFL. Just killing it in baseball this season. One of my best buddies and a great guest every Sunday morning right here on Sid Sports Sunday with your beautiful wife and your two good-looking boys. Thank you for stopping by. We'll take a short break. Lots more to do. All-time Yankee great Jim Leyritz. The Yanks are going back to the playoffs. They got to win one big game in the Bronx on Wednesday to set up a Yankee-Red Sox matchup. We'll talk to the Mr. October, F. Reggie Jackson, the real Mr. October, Jim Leyritz, on Sid Sports Sunday right after these words.
77 WABC. Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Every Sunday, New York sports and more, more, more. 77 WABC and the free WABC radio app.
Let's get out here with a dummy.
Hey, back here on Sid Sports Sunday, live from the gorgeous Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City on a gorgeous day. Giants and Saints coming up, Jets and Jaguars. But do some baseball here. An amazing last day of the season. Brewers and Cubs are tied atop the NL Central. Dodgers and Rockies are tied atop the NL West. And locally, the Yankees are back in the playoffs. They have a 100-win season, the third team, along with Boston, Houston, to do that this year. So with all the nonsense about Aaron Boone and blah, 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 the Yanks have won 100 games. They broke all kinds of offensive records. My guest sitting next to me is one of the all-time Yankee greats between 90 to 96 and then again in 99. Legitimately hit some of the biggest home runs in the history of the New York Yankees. And he's a great guy. He's my good buddy, Jim Leyritz. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good to be here, Sid. How you doing?
I'm well. You are really Mr. October. You had a fight once with Reggie Jackson. And you told him that, didn't you?
I said, yeah. I said, you're not the only Mr. October in this room.
Well, listen, before we get to the Yankees season, the big game against the A's on Wednesday, and what they may or may not do against the Red Sox starting at Fenway on Friday night, you're working with Mike Cave, who's a great guy. You have a couple of really good charities and initiatives to talk about. Talk about the Pink Tie charity. Let's start right there.
Yeah, PinkTie.org is one of our biggest charities that we do through First Equity Title, our title insurance company. And basically what it is, it's 100% pass-through charity. That we raise money for all different charities and foundations that need financial assistance. The one beauty of it is wherever the money's raised, the money stays. And basically what we've done is we've partnered up with different businesses to have a give-go attitude, you know, a go-giver attitude.
Right,
I'm sorry.
Right.
And basically what they've done is, like, Trinity Solar, one of our big sponsors, they donate 3 cents per kilowatt.
Wow.
To the charity, to the foundation, per customer that they get in Long Island and New York. So we go to other businesses. We have a give-and-go gas stations that we're doing now that we open up a gas station and they donate 1 cent per gallon back to the community. And again, that wherever that money's raised in that gas station, it stays in that community. So it's just a bunch of networking for business professionals, raising money for great causes. And we do some great things. We have a big party once a year at the Carlton and Eisenhower Park.
Right. Halloween this year, right?
Well, this year we're doing another one in Halloween.
Right.
It'll be our second one.
Wow.
But we do one in June. It's a kind of like a fan appreciation or customer appreciation. And then this one we have October 29th at the Carlton, another big Halloween party, again, raising money for different charities and foundations locally to help them raise money for their foundations.
Excellent job. Thank you, Mike Cave. Jim Lehrer is here, the old-time Yankee. Wait, let's talk about this Yankee team. They get win number 100 yesterday. That Seattle team in 97 with 264 home runs. Griffey at 56 that year. I think Buehner hit 40. A-Rod was in the 20s. Paul Sorrento hit 31 home runs that year. But the Yankees go past that. Gleyber Torres is the guy that goes past it. And the same day that Gleyber Torres hits the home run to go past it as a rookie, Miguel Andujar goes past Joe DiMaggio for doubles as a rookie. How about these kids, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you got a 23 and a 21-year-old kids that have been carrying this team. Now, coming into spring training, there was a question mark. Everybody said, oh, how can you go with these two young kids, you know, in New York?
Well, they weren't going to. I mean,
they didn't want to. Yep.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then you had the injury. And I always say there's two guys on this team this year that could be Wally Pipp, and that's Billy McKinney, who got hurt, and that's why Torres came up. And then, of course, Greg Bird, with now that we got Luke Voit doing what he's doing.
Right, right.
You know, the next coming is Shane Spencer. So, I mean, it's been pretty amazing to watch. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, being in New York all year and being around the Yankees, it's really interesting to see how the season progresses. And, you know what, we were on Aaron Boone a lot in the beginning because it was his first year. And then you look back in the season and you wonder, wow, he won 100 games.
Yeah.
You know, there's only Joe Torre won 100 games only four times in his 12 years.
So that's only 33% of the time.
And Joe Girardi won it once in his 10-year.
That's only 10% of the time.
Exactly. So, I mean, for Aaron Boone to do that his first year, and in the beginning it was like, okay, yeah, there's no injuries, everybody's doing great. He managed the whole second half through injuries, through problems, through different things. And for him to be able to do that, he deserves as much attention as we can
get. Of course. I mean, like, it was his fault that Stanton struck out 10 times in two games in April.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. But you're right. I mean, some guys have stepped up here, the two rookies. Luke Voit, glad you mentioned him. He's been very, very big. And certainly the acquisition of Happ in that starting rotation.
Huge.
He's going to get the goal Wednesday against the Oakland A's. Look, Jimmy, all I keep hearing all week is the Yankees have had regular season success this year against Boston. They match up well against them. If they can get by this Oakland team, and they're tough. You know, Davis hit his 48th home run yesterday.
Yep.
If they get by Oakland on Wednesday, there are people that think the Yankees can beat this Boston team despite 107 wins. Are you on that bandwagon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons why is not because of the season statistics. I'm not a sabermetric guy. It's not because of this, the pulse of a team. And with Aaron Judge coming back, you know, Sid, I was in the stadium when Judge was hurt. I went to a lot of the games. That intensity, that funness that the Yankees have had in the beginning, they didn't have that.
It was missing, but would you give Stanton, he hit 37 home runs this year, still not as monstrous as his years in Miami with the Marlins, but will you give him some credit for at least, I know not the energy wasn't there, the leadership, but some of the numbers, or do you say, listen, bottom line is Judge needs to be there for the Yanks to be the Yanks?
Well, I think it's Judge. Yeah. I mean, Judge is the heartbeat of that team, and I think what you've seen since he's come back is just that extra added that intensity that they were missing for a little bit there. And, of course, like I said, you know, Stanton did a great job. Andujar, unbelievable job. You know, but everybody, Aaron Hicks. You know,
27 homers this year. He's got 27 homers this year.
When you look at this team, Sid, there's 12 guys that hit double-figure home runs.
Wow.
We always talk about in the postseason, home runs don't matter. It's a matter of the small ball. But when you have that many guys that can hit a home run at any given time, you're never out of a ball game. And I think that's the most important thing they have.
If the Yankees win on Wednesday, and again, I think that's a big one. I know it's in the Bronx, and Happ has been good. But again, this Oakland team, they've got some, talking about home runs, they've got some guys who can crush it. If they get by Oakland on Wednesday, the prospects, I know Severino's won 19 games this year, his last couple starts, okay, after a really brutal 11-start stretch. Tanaka had a pretty good second half outside his last start. And Happ, Tanaka, Severino, is that good enough to beat teams like Boston and Houston if they move past Oakland?
I think it's a chance in a 5-game series. In a 7-game series, those tendencies start to figure themselves out. I think in a 5-game series against Boston, only because of the added intensity of the rivalry and what's going on and what's going on through the season, I think that's going to be one of the best series ever. And after that, yeah, maybe some of these holes are going to show up because you go to a fourth pitcher in a seven-game series, CC, whoever you're going to go with. But I think this one-game playoff is going to be huge because Oakland has a good bullpen. All right, if Mike Fiers can give them three or four innings to start with, he's been lights out for them, just like J.A. Happ has been for the Yankees. Same thing with the Yankees, though. If J.A. Happ can give three innings, then you got, you can go to the bullpen, Robertson, you can go to Bastantes, you can go to Chapman. You have an opportunity to win. I think what you're going to see is a starter pitcher. But the one other thing, Sid, is the Yankees clinching before Sunday was they were able to rest the next 3 days.
Yeah.
These other starters. So if they need a Severino, they need a Tanaka to give them one inning, it's kind of like a work day.
True.
And it does still be available for the next series.
But all the pressure here for Wednesday's on the Yanks. I mean, let's face it, they were the team that was supposed to win everything. And again, they had a great season, 100 wins,
yeah.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. But they didn't even win the AL East.
It's New York.
It's New York, right. So they were supposed to win. Oakland was not supposed to do anything this year.
Right.
And they came on like gangbusters in the second half and blew the doors off the AL. So they're on the road against a team that was supposed to win everything. They're kind of playing, talking about the casino, with the casino's money here. They're both young baseball teams. How does that bode for the Yanks with all the pressure?
Well, I mean, it's definitely on them. The bottom line is Matt Chapman, Piscotty, the Oakland A's, Chris Davis, they're their main three guys. You don't know what they're going to do.
Right.
It's the first time in this situation. Matt Chapman's out from California. He's a guy out by me.
Yeah.
I watched him play high school ball and college ball out there. He can play. And again, you don't know what they're going to do in this postseason. Are they going to be somebody that steps up that you didn't expect? Or is it going to be – but the Yankees, they're going to have to make sure that they watch those three players. I think it's a little easier because the rest of the Oakland A's team, you can kind of pitch around or pitch two. Whereas the Yankees, like I mentioned, 1 through 9, you got to pick your poison, and either way, somebody can get you.
On the way out, big football day. You're going to the Giant
going
game
to
today,
Giants.
Straight from here, Giants and Saints, and I'll be watching all the games. But 161 games, Jim Leyritz, and yet the Cubs and the Brewers and the Dodgers and the Rockies have to play four games today for the possibility, because they may both win, may both lose, of winning a division. How amazing is that?
Yeah, it's one of those days when if you're the other managers, you're like, I don't want my team to lose, but at the same time, if that team wins, I'd rather lose and not have to play the extra one game.
Right.
And use my pitching staff to be able to, I'd rather play just a one-game playoff and let's go.
That's a good point.
So, it's a tough situation, and we'll see what happens by the end of the day.
All right, on the way out, one more time, quickly, about 30 seconds to go, Mike Cave and all the work you guys are doing.
Pinktie.org. You can go to it, and like I said, you can see all the great things we're doing for the communities. Wherever the money is raised, it stays. That's the beauty of the organization. We raise all different types of money for all different types of cancer foundations, and just great to be a part of. And like I said, building businesses through a give-and-go attitude.
Awesome. Jim Leyritz, it's always great to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
The all-time New York Yankee, great Mr. October himself, on his way to the Giants game today against the Saints. Jim Leyritz will take a short break. Still lots more to do. Sid Sports Sunday live from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on the beach in Atlantic City. Coming back right after these words.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda, every Sunday, 77 WABC.
Sports Medicine and Wellness Group, dedicated to helping New Yorkers lead physically dynamic lives free from pain. MSM Wellness, the leader in sports rehab and physical therapy. MSMWellness.com. Some injuries of note. LaShawn McCoy, questionable today. He will play, though, against the Packers for the Buffalo Bills. Eagles running back Darren Sproles, he's out again today for that Eagle matchup in Tennessee against the Titans. Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, he's questionable in their big matchup today against the Colts. Aaron Rodgers is questionable, but he's going to get the start today in his home game this afternoon. Falcons running back Devonta Freeman, he's out once again as the Falcons get set to host the Bengals. And it looks like Leonard Fournette of the Jaguars will play against the Jets. Again, injuries brought to you by MSM, MSMWellness.com. So listen, we are doing the show live today from the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino here in Atlantic City on a gorgeous sun-splashed beach day. Last day of regular season baseball, two divisions still on the line. Jets and Jaguars, Giants and Saints. It's a big, big sports day. My next guest is on with us quite a bit because, first of all, he's a friend of mine. That's all you need to know. But second of all, he does all of the entertainment here at the Hard Rock, whether it's boxing or shows like this weekend with Maxwell and Christina Aguilera. He's my dear friend, Bernie Dillon. Good morning, Bernie.
Welcome back, Sid. It's always great to have you.
It's always great to be here. You know how you know, Bernie? Look at my wife, Danielle. She loves it here. My kids love it here. It's such a... My friends, Ayala and Danielle, love it here. It's such a good time for the whole family.
Did you see the energy in this property last night and the night before with Christina and Maxwell?
Unreal.
All over the place.
Unreal.
We had acts going on three different stages in addition to what we had in the arena, and it was phenomenal.
It's been that way. I arrived here on a Thursday, June 27th, Bernie. June 28th, you had Carrie Underwood. June 29th, you had Pitbull. At the same time, you had Mighty Max Weinberg performing in the Hard Rock Cafe. You, specifically you, have done an amazing job keeping this place exciting every single night.
We have a whole team of people that certainly helped me, but it's been really a lot of fun. And wait till you see what we have coming up next. We're getting ready to announce some of our biggest acts coming up in 2019. Just wait.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Because you've already penciled in about 300 shows for this year.
Wow. We have as many coming next year.
Wow.
And it's going to be an incredible lineup.
One of the things, though, that upset me this week, because you and I are both boxing guys, both big-time boxing guys, especially you produce some of the biggest matches in New Jersey, and it looks like both HBO and Showtime are going to spend more of their time fighting Netflix for entertainment programming than boxing. How about that announcement?
It's really a shocking result that's happened this week. I think it took the whole boxing community by surprise. The promoters that I've spoken with are really still in shock, I think.
Is that right?
It's really going to be a tough turnaround for them. I'm sure the networks, you hear that they are looking to get back into business, ESPN, NBC. I think they'll pick up the ball. And maybe in the long run, it may be a better thing for the sport of boxing because more people will see it at different times. They don't have to pay premium cable to get it. And it'll be exposed to a lot more people and hopefully build the interest back up again.
You know what? I didn't think about it like that because the detractors, right, Bernie, the guys that love UFC, MMA, they've been claiming for years boxing is dead. They're like, where are your big fights? I mean, you got to do Mayweather Pacquiao again. Where are your big fights? So their contention is, no, the sport is dying. But you're saying not necessarily true, and it may even get better down the road.
I think there's a transition period. It has to occur right now because they're pulling out pretty soon. And it'll take a little time, but when you get the networks back in it and they can promote it and make household names like we both grew up with, you know, you look at the Haglers, the Leonards, you know, Durans and Hearns and people like that, Larry Holmes and, you know, Ali and Frazier and
even
all
Ken
those
Norton,
guys.
Even Ernie Shavers,
oh my gosh.
Bernie.
They were all household names
right.
when we grew up.
Yeah.
But where did we watch them?
Home.
We watch them on ABC, NBC, CBS on Saturday and Sunday afternoons.
Good point.
Maybe that'll come back.
Good
you
point.
Never know.
You know, I'll tell you one thing about this place. Well, you know you do an incredible job. It's one thing to have Christina Aguilera on a Friday or a Pitbull or a Maxwell on a Saturday. But you know, Bernie Dillon, that you guys are doing an amazing job when you've got so much great entertainment that you've got Janet Jackson coming up on a Tuesday.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
She's here this Tuesday night, right?
Yes, she is.
That should be a monster show too, right?
Yes, and then we have, right behind that, we've got Hall & Oates and Bob Dylan, and it's just the shows that are coming up. I'm really pleased with the lineup we have.
And you've done the boxing here. Talking about HBO, we had a great fight here. That was an amazing fight. The Kovalev loss, I'm still shocked about that. You've done MMA, UFC, that type of stuff. Heck, you've even had wrestling here, right?
We had the WWE, and we're working on another date for 2019. That was a Monday night.
Right.
That was a Monday night, and the place was packed.
You know, the other thing is, for folks that have not been here yet, for folks that even have been here, you got to check out the Howie Mandel Comedy Club. It is a beautiful venue, beautiful. I know you've had Amy Schumer here. Howie's been here, obviously. So not just musical acts and sports, but you get the best comedians in the world.
Hey, how about my my country lineup for this
summer? Oh, my.
Everybody, Carrie Underwood, Florida Georgia Line, Blake Shelton. We had Toby Keith.
Yep.
I've got Old Dominion still coming up, Brett Eldridge. I'm very happy with where we are there.
Yeah, no, it seems to me, Bernie, like, you know, I'm an old
classic rock guy, right? Because I'm white and Jewish and I'm from Brooklyn and whatever, you know. So I'm not huge into the hip-hop rap.
Me too, stuff. It's okay.
Okay, good, good. Thank you. So to me, and I think you'd agree because you know entertainment better than anybody, the country music today is the closest thing we've got to what we had with classic rock, right?
Yes, it is. And it's a way for us to stay a little more current with our presentation here because some of the younger people, like a Florida Georgia Line, people like that, Chris Young, it's a great presentation that we make. They're a lot of fun. They're absolutely very easy to work with.
Yes. They really are. They're cool guys.
It is. Yeah. You know, you see them walking around the casino, and they're very chill.
Very nice guys. So we've already had all these monster shows. It's been open now for about 2.5 months. You told me you kind of intimated 2019 could even be bigger. So on the way out, Bernie Dillon, is there maybe one little nugget you want to give the fans? Because just in case they're not sure yet, I mean, I talk about you guys every day. You've been on quite a bit. I think we've done a really good job of getting New Yorkers to come to the beach in Atlantic City. But for that one guy out there that's like, well, I kind of like oceans, I kind of like valleys, why should they come to the Hard Rock in Atlantic City?
I'll say this. You walk in the door, and the word that we've used, but you hear coming from everybody, is the energy that we've created. You walk in here from a Friday afternoon right through Sunday afternoon, the energy that's, it's the building itself, it's what we've added to it with our 4 different stages of live entertainment, with our 300 shows a year, the video screens that we're looking at right now,
gorgeous,
with Bruce Springsteen and Max Weinberg up there, yep, the Hard Rock Calling in London a couple years ago. I mean, it's the energy that's here that I don't think anybody comes close to.
I'll say this. I'm leaving in about 2 hours. I'm going to go home. The kids have school tomorrow. Go watch a Giant game. When I leave the Hard Rock on a Sunday, I swear to you, I feel kind of like I felt when I was a kid and camp was over. You know that horrible feeling? I feel like, oh, I don't really want to leave yet. That's how great you guys do it.
Thank you very much. It's always great to have you, Sid.
You too. You're a great friend and a great guy.
Thank you.
Bernie Dillon, in charge of all the entertainment, doing an amazing job at what has become the Rosenberg family destination, and that is the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino right here on a gorgeous beach in Atlantic City. We'll come back and wrap things up. It's the Jets and Jaguars down in South Florida. We'll talk to Jetman and wrap it up right after these words.
This is Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda.
Gotta love it, baby.
77 WABC.
Stop, Donald, 3, 1, 2, 3,
Sunday! Sid Sports Sunday, driven by Ramsey Mazda. Each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10.
Hey, go give it to you. Let's go get it.
77 WABC.
Back here live, Sid Sports Sunday, wrapping things up on the gorgeous lobby here at the beautiful Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on the beach in Atlantic City. Big game day, Jets and Jags coming up at 1. Giants will host the Saints coming up at 4:30. Last day of the Major League Baseball season. 2 divisions still on the line. The Cubs and Brewers tied atop the NL Central, and the Dodgers and Rockies tied atop the NL West. David Wright said goodbye yesterday. The Yankees win 100 games, and LeBron James on ESPN tonight makes his debut as a Los Angeles Laker. But to my right is Rob Fulmer, better known as Jetman. Jets in Jacksonville for the Jaguars today. Looked so good that first Monday night game. Donald especially in beating the Lions. Haven't won a game since. Now they're more than a touchdown underdog in Jacksonville today. But you, Jetman, you're still confident, aren't you?
I'm very happy. I can't wait to take the 7.5 points, but I'm not going to need them. I'm telling you right now, you don't need the points. Bet it straight up.
Now why do you? Now I know you love the Jets.
I do.
Adam, you're dressed. If you can't see him, go to my Instagram page, Sid Rosenberg, or Jetman NY. You can see how this man walks around. Which is great. He loves his football team. But they haven't played well for 2 weeks. The kids made some mistakes. And you expect them to win a game against a team that was a play away from the Super Bowl last year.
I do. Because you know what? Jacksonville didn't even score a touchdown last week.
That's true.
Okay, so their defense is ranked 4th. Jets are 7th.
Okay.
Jets offense is ranked 20th.
Right.
Jags are 19th.
Right.
Come on. 7.5 points?
Yeah.
Take it straight up. Don't take the points.
No, don't listen to him.
I'm telling you.
Don't listen to him.
I'm telling you. Jet up, baby. Let's go.
You know, my friend Stephanie Perales, who was a big fan of mine down in South Florida, one of the many that's listened to me and Bernie in the morning and this show, too, she's at the game today in Jacksonville. She says there's a ton of Jetmans. The Jetmans traveling big this year for Sam Darnold. How about that?
We travel extremely well, but I had to come here to the Hard Rock Casino with Sid Rosenberg. I was supposed to be in Jacksonville, Florida, but I'd rather be here with you, Sid.
Well, you know what? You see Bernie Dillon standing next to Chad Lopez and Jim Leyritz? He's a lifelong Jet fan.
I heard Jet fan, guys. See that?
How about that?
Anytime I need a room.
Right.
Taken care of.
That's funny. Well, listen, good luck today.
Thank you.
The Jet fans love you. You've replaced Fireman Ed. You're doing even a better job. So enjoy the action today, and thanks for coming down here, bro.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
good
it.
Good to see you, Jetman. Where can they find all your stuff? At JetmanNY on Instagram. Where else?
On Twitter, same thing, JetmanNY.
And then all the tailgates in the parking lot before the
you got to come to the tailgate. L2. We're right by the L2 in the bus lot. We throw the biggest tailgate party there is.
I'm going to be there next game, I promise.
I hope you do, please.
Good to see you, pal.
You will.
Jetman, the Jets and Jaguars coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Lots of people to thank today. We start with our boss, Chad Lopez, who his vision to do this show on Sundays and done so much for the station, me and Bernie as well. So thank you, Chad, and for him, by the way. Thanks for coming down today. Our PD, Craig Schwab, Kevin, Chris, Dan, Matt Meany, my producers, and to my left, did a terrific job today. I mentioned Guns and Bruce and Isaiah back in the studios. Also want to thank all of our terrific guests today, Bernie Dillon, Jim Leyritz, Rick Pitino, all of our stringers, Ayala and Danielle Bazzana. Thank you, my beautiful wife, Danielle. Everybody in the audience today, we hope you enjoyed this Sit Sports Sunday. Jets and Jaguars coming up at 1, Giants and Saints at 4:30, and again, Bernie and Sid tomorrow morning at 6, the best morning show in the country. From all of us to all of you, enjoy your football Sunday. For tomorrow at 6. Peace!